If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day, all Bills all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Well, we're here. We made it. And so much so, you know, it's the first day. I haven't even made up my dorm yet. This is my dorm room.
Look at over the shoulder and between us, the bed and the sheets still waiting to go. Don't you usually take the beds and put them together?
I do. I'm going to do that later. Yeah. So next time we're on this in my dorm at some point, you're going to see the two beds put together. I mean, we got here this morning, couldn't move into our dorm until we were doing all of our, I was on the radio, then we had practice. And honestly, I've just been kind of writing and doing stuff. So, I mean, I got a lot of stuff to get to here. I feel like, you know, when you're at your house, you're like, man, I really got to clean the house. And I just, that's what I feel like right now with my dorm.
I also noticed I'm looking at your thermostat. You go to 67. I thought you would go lower, actually.
I think I put on 65 earlier. Okay. I thought I did.
My room goes right to 62 when I walk in. As low as I'll let me go.
I like that.
Like immediately, because it's so hot outside that you want to be able to just immediately feel as cold as possible when you finally get back to your room.
Well, the other thing that's making me mad. So I used to bring a mini fridge all the time.
Yeah.
Last year we got here. There's a mini fridge in the room. I'm like, oh, this is great. So I didn't bring mine this year, and there's no mini fridge here. So now I got drinks, and I got to put stuff in there.
Yeah, there you go. That's nice. I mean,
I'm going to go buy a foam cooler.
I brought a real cooler.
Oh, you did?
Like a Yeti cooler.
Oh, I think I might buy something like that and just put some ice in it, and that'll take care of it, right?
That's exactly what I do.
There you go.
There you go.
All right. Well, it's dorm life. We're here. Matt, by the way, is my neighbor. How many doors down? Maybe about four?
10 rooms down the hall. I don't know, whatever it is. It was a 30-second walk down to your room.
It's college life. It's what we do here. We're in Dorsey Hall on the campus of St. John Fisher University. It is day one of Buffalo Bills training camp, and it's always game day in Buffalo. We appreciate you joining us, and we got a lot of content coming your way. We're going to be out on location this week a couple of different times. It's going to be really cool. Thursday night, if you're watching, you're listening, we don't want you to forget right away, Thursday night, July 24th at Barbill East on Empire Boulevard. We're going to be there at 7 p.m. I've already been told they've been getting calls off the hook about trying to get reservations because people want to come down to.
Wow, that's exciting. That's very exciting.
It's going to be packed.
Some of our colleagues were also asking, hey, can you try and hold us a table? And I was like, I haven't thought about that. I'm going to do my best.
I'll talk to you about that later, but we should at least have a couple spots for them.
All right, good.
Yeah. I've made sure, because if we're going to invite people down,
we want to make sure.
But there's so much room down there. Come on down near the bar. You can stand around. You can watch. You can hang out with us.
It's very informal. Like, not in a bad way. Come hang out. There's a bar. There's a restaurant. Obviously, you can order food at the bar. You can hang out. We set up right in front of a fireplace.
Yeah.
You can stand. We have a big speaker, so you can hear the podcast. Then afterwards, we mingle, and everybody, you know, hopefully has a good time.
And then Sunday, we're going to be at We the Hobby here in Rochester. Yep. And we're going to be a part of their big expo going on, their big event. They're going to be doing some breakers. We're going to have breakers on the show. Matt and I, we were even set. They asked us if we can autograph a couple cards they break or something, a couple breaking packs or something like that.
I feel bad.
But come on by. If you're a card collector, you like the Bills, anything, just come on by. And I got word today, Mad Max is coming. No, not Max Harrison. I'm sorry.
Mad Max Capaccio. Yeah.
He'll be there too.
You unintentionally teed us up for maybe the start of this podcast.
I'm glad that you brought it up because
or it was intentional. I don't know.
It was not intentional, but hey, sometimes in radio, those things happen. We're on video and on podcast, but go right ahead, because Mad Max was a story.
Yeah. He was good.
Yeah.
Like legit. Now, once again, no pads and it's just practice and it's day one, but there was a route where he got beat by KJ Hamler at the back of the end zone, and his speed took over, and then it turned to a pass breakup that was almost an interception.
Yeah.
And right after the play happened, Tre'Davious White came running towards him to celebrate, and it was just one of those like, whoa. Now, there was another pass that was a kind of a pass towards the corner of the end zone right by the pylon, and he just shot the corner, and it ended up being a completion, but he just missed it. Like, the speed is noticable.
Is that the one on Curtis Samuel? I wrote about it. He kept him out of the end zone, though.
He kept him out of the end zone. Exactly. So would have been a touchdown, but he was so fast. He got over there so quick. It's just nice to see those signs, right? Like those little flashes along the way. And it wasn't just Hairston. There were times when TJ Sanders flashed and you're like, whoa, that's impressive. Yeah. At one point, Deion Walker threw three guys back into Mitch Trubisky on the offensive line. They're all standing there. he looks like he's a different like age group than these guys, right? They're all peers. It's like when you're a kid and there's the one guy who's 13 who's huge, and then there's a bunch of 10 or 11 year olds. Like, that's what he looked like. So it was good to see flashes from all of their notable picks. I don't have anything to say about Landon Jackson, not for a good reason or a bad reason. Didn't notice him. A lot of players out there, and it was just one practice. But I think it's a good sign to see something from Hairston, to see something from Sanders, to see something from Walker.
Yeah, this draft class, they have to get contributions, and those are the guys. So I'm going to tell on myself here and just be honest. I don't watch a lot of the line until pads go on.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you know, because what you're saying is great, and it's notable, and you should note it. I try not to because I get a little too
up, like me. Right now.
I just look at it and go, okay, but wait till the pads go on, and Deion Walker can do a lot of things right now, but once those guys put pads on and they get their hands on them, they can really drive them. What's he going to be able to do?
And there was a Joey Bosa rep that was a good reminder of that because he cooked someone and he got back there. And I was like, okay, t-shirts and shorts, not even pads on yet.
Yeah.
Like, there is an advantage for certain positions right now, but also just a good sign that Joey Bosa is out there and practicing.
And let's talk about that story, which is availability and participation. Joey Bosa out there. First time we've seen him in a Buffalo Bills uniform. So good to see that. Who we didn't see today, Dawson Knox, Spencer Brown, Cedric Van Pran Granger, and Laviska Shenault. Yep. Now, Dawson Knox apparently was injured while he's working out away from football.
Last week, yes.
Yes. They did sign a tight end, which to me is like, what does that mean? Matt Sokol. But I got the feeling not only with Knox, but with Spencer Brown, both Sean McDermott and especially Brandon Bean, the way they talk, they're not overly concerned.
Well, because one of the phrases that they used was overly cautious with specifically Dawson Knox and Spencer Brown. So I actually asked Elena Getzenberg from ESPN. I was like, how did you read that? Did you read that as they're not concerned? And we both agreed, hey, you know, with Spencer Brown, particularly with a back injury, it's never not something. Like, it's always something that's lingering. But the fact that they said overly cautious usually kind of paints a picture of, we don't think this is going to be something incredibly long term. It's a little different for Spencer Brown, right? Like, that's a player, even though he has still got a lot of experience in the league, you would like to see him out there. You would like to see him get some reps. Dawson Knox knows this offense.
Yeah,
I feel like they can afford to not have Dawson Knox for longer. With the chemistry, with the offensive line, with the continuity, I think you want to see Spencer Brown out there soon. But I also think with a massive offensive lineman who has had back injuries, it is better to be safe and not sorry.
Cedric Van Pran Granger, a backup center, has a calf injury, so we'll monitor that as well. And then there's Laviska Shenault, who he can't afford to miss time.
He's
a guy
that's fighting out there as soon as possible.
And he wasn't today. Mm-hmm. I saw Sean McDermott having a really good conversation, long conversation with him off to the side as he was working. You just wonder, you know, what he's asking him about. And, you know, I'm sure it's just the health situation, but you want to make sure that, hey, if this guy's going to fight for a job, he's got to be available. Okay. The big story coming in here, which we haven't talked about yet because it kind of became a non-story once we got here, is James Cook.
Yeah.
James Cook showed up. He practiced. And basically, the way it went at the end of practice by listening to Brandon Bean, it's like, yep, he's under contract. He's going to play. We hope to get him back next year. We'll see where it goes. And that kind of doesn't really change anything with James Cook's situation.
Yeah, I'm going to my phone right now because I tweeted the quote from Brandon Bean because I thought it was notable. He said, I'm hopeful that when we're sitting here next year for training camp, James Cook is going to be out there practicing. That was him talking about his relationship with James Cook, the long-term outlook of it. It made it sound like, listen, the two sides know that, you know, the Bills want to have James Cook here for a long time. James Cook wants a payday. What's going to happen? I don't know if anything's going to happen, but it also did sound like there was some open dialogue with either Bean or other members of the front office and James Cook and his representation. I don't feel any different about a future deal for James Cook now than I did yesterday, but I do think it's a really good sign that he is here and practicing. And, you know, now it is a non-story. It was a non-story.
Do you feel like it's a good faith sign? Like, oh, okay, come on, take care of me. I'm here. I'm doing everything. Or is it more of, I guess two ways I could look at it. I want to get your take on this. You could say James Cook showing up and showing good faith and hoping the Bills see that and reward him and say, you know what, let's get something done. Or James Cook is kind of resigned to his fate that he's not getting anything done and saying, I'm not going to get fined and I want to be a good teammate. So, hey, nothing's happening and I better go to work.
I think it's simply that I've never thought James Cook had that much leverage in the situation. And that side realizes that.
Yep.
And I think that you just need to do what's right. What they think is right, right? Nobody can say what somebody should do with their money or how they should handle these situations because there's not a right and a wrong. But the Bills want him here. He's here. And maybe that does mean that they'll be able to get something done. Maybe it's not even now. Maybe it's just later, right? Mm-hmm. Like, these things matter. These things linger. If he would have held out for weeks and weeks and weeks, played the regular season, I don't think any of us would think that there's a chance he comes back. Now, maybe there is. Maybe he plays the season and then they try and get something done before he ultimately becomes a free agent. Maybe. I'm not saying
I want to remind everybody, they could place the franchise tag or even the transition tag on him at the end of the year if they really want to. If he has a monster year, like, look, we're not going to lose the guy. We don't want to lose him. It's financially tough because you got to count that money right away on the salary cap, but you could do it. If he were to leave a free agency, they'd probably get a comp pick for him based on how everything else goes. So there's a lot of scenarios, but as of right now, James Cook at training camp. The other tentacle to this is, it does get me to go, okay, but then why did he post all that stuff and allude to all that stuff about the money early on? Like, it just seems like it's almost like it caused unnecessary drama, I guess.
Maybe you wanted to cause drama. Maybe you wanted to have your name out there more and you wanted the attention of knowing that, like, I'm not happy. I want to get paid more money. Who knows what that would have led to? But I think Brandon Bean has done this long enough that he's not going to make a panic move. He's not going to freak out if James Cook is not there for the first day of mandatory minicamp or if he's not there for the first day of training camp or anything like that. So I'm interested to see what happens, but I think it's a non-story now. And I don't think it's going to be something that we even are talking about in a week. Like, maybe before the end of this week, maybe when they get to the preseason, hey, does James Cook play? Do they not play him? Do they even bother? Maybe. I don't think we're going to be talking about James Cook a lot this summer.
Agreed. I was thinking today, when are we talking about James Cook's contract? I think a couple of things could happen to get us there. If he has an injury, we start talking about it.
Absolutely.
Right? If he gets hurt, we're like, man, this is why he was wanted to get paid. This is why guys want to get paid, right? You avoid this situation where you might not get paid because you get injured. The other thing is, as it's not necessarily any certain point of the season, but during the season, as it's going, there's going to be a conversation of, you know, James Cook's a free agent at the end of the year, and you're going to kind of check in on how he's doing a little bit.
Do you think that his contract status or whatever the future of James Cook has any impact of how he will be used on the field?
I don't.
See, I do, and I think that might be an area where we disagree, because I'm wondering, if you don't think you're going to keep James Cook, wouldn't you use your other guys, you know?
Oh, no, I look the other way.
No, you would get as much out of James Cook as humanly possible.
Yes, yes.
But I also think you would use your other guys kind of situationally a little bit different, right? Ray Davis isn't going to get a new contract anytime soon.
No.
But if James Cook was getting 5 goal line carries, does Ray Davis get those now? And you give him a little bit more, get him more reps, more touchdowns, more confidence if he is going to be your feature back moving forward? I mean, we're talking about minimal reps. I understand you want to run the asset into the ground and get as much out of it as possible.
That would be the more way I would say is, look, if you think you're just use them up.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Bills kind of sort of did with CJ Spiller, like when his last year, like he's going to return kicks. Mm-hmm. He returned kicks his last year.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, hey, he's going to do everything for us and you kind of use them up. That's the way I look at it. I also would say, I don't think Sean McDermott, this is a Sean McDermott question. I don't think Sean McDermott coaches 2025 thinking about what his running back room looks like in 2026.
I think you're right. But it is an interesting layer to the conversation of, I almost think about it even from a Brandon Bean standpoint of 16 rushing touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Touchdowns are weird. Regression will likely happen. But does James Cook see his value dip if this year he has 7 rushing touchdowns instead of 16 rushing touchdowns? And then there is a more manageable way to keep him or attain him as a player. If all of a sudden those goal line carries go to Ray Davis, maybe now James Cook isn't asking for $15 million a year.
Right.
He's asking for $11 million a year. And if the Bills were at 9, and we're just throwing around fake numbers here, it's a lot easier to go from 9 to 11 and meet in the middle than
your
it is
theory
from
is
9
that
to 15.
They could manipulate to hit what his asking price might be?
No, because that would be ridiculous, but it's interesting to think about, isn't it?
I think the other way, though. I do think it is interesting to think about. To me, it's if they're kind of like, we're not going to re-sign this guy, I think they just use the heck out of him.
Yeah, probably.
And say, like, then whatever happens, happens. Are we allowed to say what we saw from, like, where Jordan Hancock played?
Yeah.
Fans are in the stands.
I think right now this is all fine because of the rule, like, where we are.
Okay.
Because we can post during practice.
Yes.
We can say kind of what things are. So I think we're fine.
I hope so, because I was about to say, Jordan Hancock played safety today.
Yeah.
And that's been a question of where he's going to play. And I think the rule is, we do have reporting rules. We can't do scheme, you know,
and
like how much they ran 12 personnel or who took how many reps. But I saw Jordan Hancock working at safety today. Now, maybe he did work at corner and I just didn't see it, you know, but that was something interesting for me. And this goes back to, and this is what I predicted. I predicted, as you know, Jordan Hancock would be more of a safety and Cam Lewis would be more of a nickel corner. And I still, I think that's how this plays out.
You did. And the interesting part about this is it further makes me think about what you said about DeMar Hamlin and that it's not a slam dunk lock that he is on this team. Because if you like Forrest, if you like Hancock as a safety, how many safeties do you really need? Even though DeMar Hamlin knows the defense, he knows the scheme, he knows the system, probably more than Cole Bishop, maybe even a little bit more than Taylor Rapp. That doesn't mean that I think that he should be on the field ahead of those guys, but it makes you wonder about just kind of like a little back of the pocket insurance policy that you might want to have. It is the position, it's only one practice, but it is clearly the position I am the most interested slash concerned about for the Bills.
Yeah.
Because I don't
feel high variance could be go either way, really.
I don't feel that way about the corners. Like, I don't think, even if you only get a little bit out of Trey, or if Max Harrison isn't ready to go, I just feel better about that position with those guys. Than I guess the easy way of saying this is I have more faith in Max Harrison and Trey White and Dane Jackson than I do in any of the second safety options.
Josh Allen didn't have a great start to practice. After practice, he made it known, hey, there's some stuff out there that you guys probably doesn't look good on the stat sheet, but I want to make sure I took care of the ball today. So he kind of knew that he didn't have a great start to the practice. I'm using air quotes now. Statistically,
a lot of throwaways, but honestly,
but he said, hey, I'm trying to make sure I throw the ball away, not make a mistake. We're in the red zone, which makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was a lot of red zone work today.
Yep.
There's not a ton of space down there. What's the old cliche that the defense is all, it's not a cliche, but the defense is always ahead of the offense earlier this year or earlier in the season.
Yep.
And you know what? The offense had like a ridiculous amount of points last year and led the NFL in almost everything. So I do think that they'll probably be able to figure it out at some point or another. But it was interesting that he said that, because when he said that, it almost felt like him saying that to Hard Knocks and not him saying it to us, of like, hey, entire world, I was trying to do this today.
Wasn't also interesting. So Josh had a press conference Wednesday after the practice, and he right away mentioned how he does not like being mic'd up. And he made, hey, Hard Knocks is here. They're doing a great job. They got our back. And I think that was almost like telling him, hey, careful, like, don't be killing us here when we're just trying to practice. Like, I think Josh was sending messages, but I thought it was interesting. He basically said he does not like being mic'd up.
Of course he doesn't. I mean, this is the way I view all of Hard Knocks. I don't think there is much to gain from Josh Allen. He is already a superstar who's in Snickers commercials and Pepsi commercials and melatonin gummy commercials and all this, all of this stuff. I don't think he's got a lot to gain. He's got more to lose.
Yeah,
just off of anything that might happen. Hard Knocks feels like it's for the people that don't necessarily have a huge a platform nearly as big as Josh Allen. How much do people really outside of Western New York know about Sean McDermott? Right? They really don't. Like, this is an opportunity for the entire country, the entire world to an extent, to see what Sean McDermott is like. I feel like he has room to really, you know, get his message out there or become a more popular name in NFL circles and NFL fan bases. And I feel a lot of that way for a lot of the secondary players. Josh Allen is the one exception on this team. Josh Allen is a legitimate superstar.
If you walk on the campus of St. John Fisher, you're going to see signs everywhere, folks, that say basically, you walk here, you could be filmed.
Yes.
Like, you're giving consent. You walk here, you might be on HBO's Hard Knocks. Simple as that. Okay. We've been asked a lot about what we expect and what it's going to look like day one. The only thing I noticed was when I noticed the blue shirts. There was a bunch of blue shirts at one time with, but they weren't intrusive.
No.
They were just there. Like, you noticed a lot of the camera people. They're all wearing blue shirts. They say Hard Knocks, training camp with the Buffalo Bills on the shirts. There are a lot of people that are in this, you know, in this realm and working in conjunction with this, but I didn't think they were intrusive in any way.
No, I didn't either. I mean, it's the first day.
Yeah.
So there's only so much stuff going on, but I never felt like, wow, these people are in the way or this is overwhelming in any sense. It's a really big space that we're working with. It's multiple football fields. It is multiple stadiums even. So a couple dozen extra videographers and producers and audio people isn't the craziest thing when you think about how big the actual space is.
Right.
But there, did you see the trailer? Did you see the trailer that they posted? They posted literally their first HBO Hard Knocks Bills trailer.
After practice today?
After practice today, but not using video from this practice.
Oh, they used, man, that's
used
quick.
Game video. They used practice video from years past, training camp video, and then little clips from the press conference. But even as somebody who covers the team, I watched it. I was like, well, this is going to be good. Like,
is either of us in it?
No. Okay. I don't think, anyway.
Did you ask any? You asked questions today at press conference, right?
Yeah.
I asked a few questions. And after I asked questions, I'm like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Are they going to use that in Hard Knocks? I'm not kidding. Like, I think about that. Like, oh, wait, I just asked this question. And then I think, did I ask a dumb question?
That's
what I'm thinking.
Don't ask a dumb question. That's how you.
But then I think, did I ask a dumb question? I don't think I did. I got a good answer because after I ask it, because I'm trying to do my job, I asked Brandon about Cole Bishop. I think it's a very legitimate question to ask.
That's not going on Hard
or
Knocks.
Sean McDermott about Cole Bishop.
That's not going on Hard Knocks.
Okay, good. But if Sean McDermott gives an answer that like is interesting, but the question was stupid, it might show up. Anyway, I get anxiety about that.
Yeah, no, I think it's a very relevant thing. I think that
you see Mike Vrabel today?
No.
So Mike Vrabel was doing his press conference today. And a reporter says, hey, what did you think about such and such guy or position? I don't know. Mike Vrabel says, I don't know if you were like, I don't know what he said, in the bathroom or you were tweeting, but I just spent 5 minutes answering that question a minute ago, and I really don't want to do that again. And he said that to the reporter.
Wow. Good for him.
Now, he had a bit of a smile. So when I first heard about it, I thought he really smashed the reporter. I think he was having fun with the reporter, but also being serious. Like, dude, I'm not wasting my time answering that. I just answered that.
Yeah.
But that's what happens.
Don't ask a dumb question. We used to have
a repeat question.
We used to have a thing back in the day with a couple of people who no longer work in Buffalo that if you asked a certain question that was poorly worded, you had to run a lap on the stadium after practice.
Wow.
So, you know, over the years, like a Mike Rodak and Jonah Javad and some names.
Well, who decided how dumb it was?
We did. Like, collectively. Okay. It wasn't a dumb question. There was a certain wording in the I'll tell you about it when we're not there, that if you asked that type of question, you had to run a lap. It was for protecting journalistic integrity. I'll just tell you about it later.
All right. Maybe you'll hear about it if you show up at the bar bill.
Yeah.
Maybe Matt will tell you all about
it. Oh, goodness gracious.
Thursday night, July 24th. We're going to be there 7 p.m. Come on by, say hi. We're going to be setting up. I'll be setting up around 6 o'clock. Matt's got some TV to do, and then he'll pop over, but we'll have this podcast for you. Come over. You can say hi to us.
Any other quick observations? And then, I'm going to go to my article.
Yeah, you got to go look at it.
Well, I just want to make sure that we're not forgetting anything on the first day. I mean, we talked about James.
What's your headline?
Just like five observations from the first day of Buffalo Bills training camp. But the observations I wrote, rookies flash all day. We talked about that at the start. Getting on. Oh, you know what it was? Josh Allen and Josh Palmer spent a lot of time with each other today.
Here's my headline.
Bills camp gets started, and so does the starting quarterback competition. Yeah, that's perfect. So did you notice that after practice?
I did not, but I noticed that you noticed.
Josh Allen and Josh Palmer were just sitting there working off to the side like for a while, getting on the same page. And Allen said afterwards, obviously, we didn't get many reps during OTAs, but he's a very cerebral guy. He understands what he's doing, very good at his craft. I trust what he says and what he's telling me. It's going to be a really good relationship. So I think that's a good sign. So a good little early, I don't know, good early start for Josh Palmer. And then Dalton Kincaid had a couple good touchdowns today too, which is
one Josh would have clearly been sacked on.
Sure, definitely.
But they kept it alive and Dalton made a nice catch in the back of the end zone.
So he had a very good, he had a very strong end to mandatory minicamp and then what I would consider a good start to training camp. So that is a good sign for a player. I mean, the quote from Brandon Bean, you know, the ball that landed on the turf in Kansas City that eats at him. This is him talking about Dalton Kincaid. He's a competitor. And the thing about Dalton is he wants that opportunity again. And no one is going to not try and give him that opportunity. Like, clearly they still are doing everything they can to talk and praise this young player.
We got to go. I got to go do a WGR radio spot. He's got to do some TV tonight. You can follow us at Sal Sports, at Matt_Bove. You want to hear Matt talk like a robot? Hold on.
What am I supposed to say?
Wait, are that just me? I'm talking like a robot?
I don't know.
You can do it on yours. What about that?
We're playing like with Darth a little Vader thing. It's kind of like Darth Vader.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll have to make Matt talk like a robot when we do it another time. You'll see all our setup here when you come to Bar Bill. We'll see you on Thursday night. We'll see you on Sunday at We the Hobby. That's at 2:30 p.m. By the way, the Bills practice at 9:15. You got plenty of time. Get out there at 2:30 p.m. On Sunday at We the Hobby in Rochester. For Matt, I'm Sal. Thanks to Mike Robbie, our producer. We'll talk to you next time. It's always game day in Buffalo.